thankful for the gospel. So we're going to start in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And this is just a very quick reminder of what the gospel is. And then I'm even going to give you ahead of time, you'll know what's going on. There's going to be 10 things. Now I know you're thinking, oh boy, we're going to be here 2 hours. Every slide could be a sermon, which is dangerous, I know. But I'm going to try to hold to the verse that I have with each slide, so hopefully it won't be too bad. You guys can hang in there, okay? I think that you'll enjoy these truths, just a refresher of how much the Lord loves you. So let's look first at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and let's just do verses 1 through 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This is Paul writing to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand." That's really important. "By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Verse 3, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." All right? Three things there, right? Very simple. He died, he was buried, he rose again, all according to the Scriptures. Let me give you something to kind of think about, again, this idea of the gospel today. A soap manufacturer and an evangelical preacher were walking along together, the former not being a Christian, and the soap maker said, "The gospel you preach has not done much good, for there's still a lot of wickedness and thousands of wicked people." That's pretty evident even today, isn't it, right? The preacher was quiet for a while, and then in a few moments, they passed a child making mud pies in the street, and the child was really dirty. Then the preacher's turn came. "Well, soap has not done much good in the world, I see, for there is still much dirt and ever so many dirty people." Well, that's true too, right? "Oh, well," said the manufacturer, "soap is only useful when it is applied." "Exactly," said the preacher, "and so it is with the gospel." Pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. The gospel is only as good as it is applied, and so is soap in the sense, right? So we're going to look at the gospel today, and where the gospel is applied, it transforms. It is incredible where the gospel is accepted, what happens to society in those places, okay? So what is the gospel? Let's start here. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news, that's what it literally means, that through Christ, God is redeeming his creation. Now, this is a little bit broader than probably what we talked about a lot. Most of us in this room, maybe not all, but most of us were raised with the idea the gospel was you're either saved and going to heaven, or dying and going to heaven. Right? And that's it. And that's all it is. Basically, the rest of your life, you do whatever your life is, but the whole thing is a ticket to heaven or not. Well, what you see in the scriptures is the gospel is actually a lot more than just that. That God is actually putting things back together that have been broken. Now, one of those things is our heart and our soul, and one of those truths is that if we'll be reconciled to God, we can have eternal life with him in heaven. That's exactly true. But God is also taking a lot of other things that have been broken and putting those things back together. When you think about the world, what is broken in the world? And you can put a lot of things in that blank, right? Okay, yeah. For a really simple example would be disease, and not just disease with humans, but there's disease all over the planet, right? There's disease with crops, there's disease all over the planet, and that's a result of sin. And there's going to be a day when the Lord eradicates sin, that disease is actually going to be gone, okay? So that's a very simple example of God actually redeeming and reconciling something that's even besides the human heart and the human spirit. Of course, what we're most of the time concerned about, and rightfully so, is the human condition. So a few things as you think about the gospel, I want you to hold to these ideas. The first one is that Jesus is the creator. That's a huge thing. Well, a lot of times we don't start there, but we need to start there. That's where the scripture starts, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You read Colossians chapter 1, you'll see that Christ is the creator of all things, he's the sustainer of all things, and he is preeminent over all things. So when you think about the gospel, the first place you have to begin is with Jesus. All right? And that's really important. Because a lot of people today, they have a presupposition that there isn't a creator. And so for in order you to have a really good gospel conversation with them, a lot of times you're going to have to get to that place first. You're going to have to cover that base first. And maybe it's just as simple as you say, now presuppose with me that there is a God and that he created this place. Okay? So you got to start there a lot of times. Sometimes we try to jump right in to the cross and people haven't even come along with this yet because they don't even believe that there's a creator. Are you following what I'm saying? So that's a really important thing about the gospel is that Jesus is the creator. Second thing is we are creation. We're created beautiful in God's image. Now, I always think about this with Corbin. We have this discussion quite a bit. It's like, do you have a sinful nature or are you born innocent? Right? That's an interesting conversation. Well, the way the scripture shares with us is that you are actually born, you're created in God's image. And you look in the scriptures, you see right from the get-go, that's how the Lord made us. So there are a lot of things about us that are very much like God. So our personality, our choice for compassion and love and benevolence and grace, those are all things that we're made in God's image. Now the problem is, number three, is we had a little issue way back in the garden that's affected us ever since, right? A long time ago, two people decided that they would choose to be ungrateful for all that they had and go for something they didn't have. Now we don't have that problem today, right? Hello. What was one of the memes going around Facebook this week was only in America would on Black Friday everybody trample each over for the stuff that they just gave thanks for on Thursday. Right? The sin condition still is the same. We don't have enough, I guess. We're so thankful for all this. Well, let's go get some more. Right? From the get-go, we were ungrateful for what we had. And so what happened was, in theological terms, they like to use this word icon or image, that it was cracked. There's a crack in the image. And the crack, very simply, we call it sin, right? Sin enters in, and now all of a sudden, this beautiful person that's created in God's image, they've got a broken thing. They've got a broken place that needs to be fixed. All right, so while sin enters the world, number four, then what comes in through sin? Death. This is unusual for us. To truly be human is to not die. You ever think of it that way? We got it all messed up, don't we? When we think about to be human, what do we think about? To err, right? To fall, to be sinful, to mess up. That's to be human. That's not to be human. God didn't make us that way. That really challenges your thinking, doesn't it? God made us perfect and eternal. It's sin that entered in, that made the crack, that made us what we are today when we say, well, she's only human, he's only human, right? And because of sin, death entered the world. Now, here's what I love. You get rid of the sin, which is what God's going to do, then what is also disappears? Death. Grief and death are gone. We saw it Wednesday night, and I about went to the moon again. I was so excited when you see that Jesus has destroyed death. There's coming a day where there's no more death, people. Praise the Lord, right? So that's part of the gospel. Part of the gospel says sin enters the world, and therefore death comes in through sin. Well, a completely holy, a completely loving God, he could have just wrote us off right then. Good night. I mean, if I give you perfection, I give you the garden, I give you eternity, and then you refuse it? I mean, if you're kind of on the mean side of a person, I would be like done with you. I mean, obviously, it's a good thing I'm not God, right? But if that was the case, I'd be like, I gave you all this and you reject it? I am done with you. I'm going to try something else. But the Lord didn't do that. A holy, sovereign God who could have said, you are sinful, you can't be in my presence, I'm done with you, decides in his great love that he would make a way for us to be redeemed and reconciled and put back together with him. Praise the Lord. That's the gospel. So, Jesus came into the world to do two things. Are you following me? This is really important. This is theology 101 right here, okay? Jesus came in the world to live a life that you couldn't live because he was perfect, and to die a death, to pay a penalty that you would pay if you didn't receive his gift of grace. All right? So, I mean, it would be great on the one hand if Jesus just paid the penalty. That'd be nice. You know, if you guys have a huge loan, if you owed $300,000 on your house and someone came in and said, I'm paying it, that sounds good, doesn't it? Yeah, I got a lot of takers on that one. But while that debt being paid is a good deal, that doesn't necessarily make reconciliation, does it? What God needed was perfection. He needed holiness. We don't have that. We have sin. But Jesus lived a life on the earth without sin. And he says, if you believe in me, if you'll look up to the snake on the pole like we talked in Sunday school this morning, if you will believe in me, have faith in me, guess what? I will apply my righteousness to your life. And when God sees you, he'll actually see you through me. He'll see what I did in your behalf. That's what Jesus came to do. So to prove that he was who he said he was, what happened 3 days after he died? Jesus is alive, people. The Lord is alive right now. He is alive. And so the truth of the gospel is this. Number 8, if we confess, believe, and surrender our lives to Christ, he will change us from the inside out, and one day he'll resurrect us to live forever with him. Again, two things. You catch that there? The gospel is for today, and the gospel is for the kingdom that is to come. It's really important. Everybody follow me there? Because a lot of times in church, we haven't talked too much about the today piece. We talk about heaven, we sing about heaven, which is great, you guys. I'm ready for heaven. That's awesome. But there's a gospel that has an impact right now. I need the gospel today because I'm hurting today. I need the gospel today because I'm tempted today. I need the gospel today because the evil one, as we saw in the Lord's Prayer, is prowling about seeking who he would devour, and he would have me if he could. I need the gospel today to be able to battle against those things. So that's a really important part here. And the gospel is for now. And as we do what the gospel shares, when we see love and healing and reconciliation, little small pockets start happening again and again. I don't know if you guys remember, I showed it to you maybe a few months ago. My friend Kevin always talks about this idea. He calls it pockets of the kingdom. And I shared with you the idea of little kids playing baseball. Do you remember that? And like when those little kindergartners get out there and the ones he's out in right field just picking his nose and the other one's playing with the daisies. And you're like, what is going to happen here, you know? And then every now and then, the little kid gets the hit and the ball goes to the pitcher and he picks it up and he throws it over to first base and the first baseman holds up his glove and closes his eyes and he catches the ball and people say, that looked like baseball, right? Well, it's the same way, pockets of the kingdom here on the planet, when every now and then we reach out in love and kindness and mercy and we show compassion even in our human condition and someone sees that love and their heart is opened and the Lord begins to transform that heart, and it's a little pocket of the kingdom, a little picture of what is to come. And that's the kingdom now. All right. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're part of that right now. Okay. All right. Theology lesson done, right? There's the gospel, a good picture of what the gospel is about. Not entirely complete, but gives us a good idea. What I want to go through here is some 10 things that I want you to be reminded about the gospel and 10 things to be thankful for as we think about the gospel. The first one, number one, the gospel is inclusive. What does that mean, inclusive? The gospel is only for white people in the United States of America. Amen? No way! Thank you, Diane. There's one person up there who knows what's going on. That's ridiculous, right? What if I said the gospel was only for black people in South Africa? You would be like, oh no, that hurts, right? That's not my group. The gospel is for anyone who would receive it. Praise the Lord and hallelujah. Hey, Free Will Baptist, free will means everybody can come. Whosoever will may come. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who makes over $80,000 a year, right? No. Everyone who has 3% body fat. Boy, a lot of us be out on that one, right? Especially me. No, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That is a great thing about the gospel. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are, what you've been through. The gospel is inclusive. The offer is for you. Do the people that you know and love, the people that you work with, do they know that? Every now and then you'll find somebody who doesn't believe that. No, I've done too much wrong. I'm too bad a person. The gospel's not for me. Baloney. The gospel is for everyone. Whew, that's good. We could stop there. That's really good. Number two, the gospel is exclusive. People don't like this one. Well, preacher, you just said it was inclusive. It's inclusive in that it's for everyone. It's exclusive in this truth is what's real. Jesus is the only way. I was tempted to show you a video today, and I'll probably just put it on Facebook this week. R.C. Sproul does a great job. He basically lays out, he says, suppose that there is this creator God, and he sets up this beautiful universe, And this beautiful place, Garden of Eden, offers this, and then these ungrateful people, they reject his beautiful offerings and decide to go and choose their own thing. And though he could be done with them, instead he reaches out in love and in mercy, and he provides a way for them to be redeemed. And he says to them, you know what, I'm going to give you a way. And so what he does is he sends his son to redeem them, but they reject his son so much that they put him up on a tree and they nail him and they crucify him. And yet even in spite of all that, if he says, but if you'll believe the work that my son did for you, then I will redeem you. I'll make things right in your life. Well, how horrible would it be for us to say, well, God, you shouldn't offer just one way of salvation. You should have many ways so you can accommodate me. I don't want the gift of your son. Do you see what I'm saying? How horrible to reject the sacrifice of the Son of God. We've already sinned. We've already forsaken what he gave us. And then the Lord gives us his son, and we've already killed him. And yet he says, if you will receive him, for us in our arrogance to say, no, I need a different way, God. This is not good enough. I need another way of salvation. Do you see how Buddha is not the same as Jesus? Do you see how Muhammad is not the same as Jesus? They're not God's son. They didn't die, they didn't rise again, and they can't provide redemption. The gospel is exclusive. You guys, the world today does not want to hear this, but the scripture is clear in it. Look at it. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Luke writes, salvation is found in no other name, no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. That's not Pastor Penn's words. That's the word of God. God said, I gave you my son, and that's the way. And he's the creator. He calls the shots. All right? That's part of the gospel. That's got to be clear to people today. That's what we've got to make sure we share. Number three, the gospel is more than just heaven and hell. I kind of already alluded to this. The gospel is for this day and for every day. Look at Galatians chapter 3. This is really interesting to me. I've always appreciated this text. Paul's writing to Galatians. And the beginning of chapter 1, he talks about they have been kind of kowtowing to another gospel. We kind of alluded to it a little bit this morning in Sunday school. What happened was is that some Jewish believers had come to Christ through faith, had seen the Spirit at work in their lives, and then some other people had come in and said, you know, if you really want to be right with God, you've got to do these things, X, Y, Z, or A, B, C. And we don't have that problem, thankfully, here today, right? You want to be right with God? Well, then you got to stop doing this, this, and this, and you need to show up here, here, and here. You need to give this, this, and this, and you need to walk through these patterns right here. Then you can be right with God. Does that exist today? You bet it does. Right here in the church, it exists sometimes. Right? What's the gospel say? The gospel says you didn't buy your salvation. You had nothing to do with it. Jesus paid for it. He died on the cross. He is your redemption. And if there's any hope for you, for change and for new life, it's through Christ. Look what Paul says to the church in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2. He says, I would like to learn just one thing from you. Again, Paul kind of in his sarcasm a little bit here. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by believing what you heard? Did you find grace and redemption? Did you receive the Spirit because you are so good at doing certain things or because you, in faith, trusted Christ? Are you so foolish? After beginning by means of the Spirit, are you now trying to finish by means of the flesh? Christian, hear me today. The gospel is for you today. This is why I'm going to preach the gospel. We're going to go through this wonderful series about healing. We're going to talk about strategies and ideas and ways to support one another. But I'm going to tell you, the bottom line is if the gospel isn't underneath all of that, it'll all come crumbling down. Because it begins and ends with Jesus. And so the Galatians, who had started out and they had trusted the Lord and they had seen the fruits of the Spirit in their life and they started living and doing some great things and see their community change, these other Jews came in and said, well, now I need to do these laws. And all of a sudden it's like, whoa, I'm not doing that. I guess I want to be right with God. I better do X, Y, Z. And they began to trust in their own works and their own effort and their own ability. And Paul says, you're nuts. You need the gospel. You need it today, just like you did when you first came to Christ. And you guys, that's why we ought to talk and speak and sing the gospel with one another. Like that song, I love to tell the story. What's like the last verse is, I love to tell the story for those who know it best. Seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest, right? Man, if you tell the gospel to me, you're just going to light me up. You're going to make me happy, make me excited. I want to hear it. Again, you need the gospel today. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with what? With gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Does that sound like something that you do one time and don't ever do again? Do you get all the continual things in that verse, right? Let the message dwell, that's a regular thing. Admonish, that's a regular thing. Sing, that's a regular thing. Give thanks, that's a regular thing. We need the gospel today, just like we did when we first came to Christ. Number four, the gospel is hope. Colossians chapter 1, incredible passage. Once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue in the faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. You guys, this is better than Dr. Phil and Oprah and a quick fix medicine and any diet plan and any physical fitness trainer and any self-help book. You want hope? Jesus can change you from the inside out. But you got to seek him. I love that. You can be free from accusation. The devil is accuser. That's what he's about. I know what you did. I know where you came from. Let those other people, if they knew that, they would just hate you and push you away. Don't you ever let any of that out. And the Lord says, you know what? Let it out. I know about it. I'm your father. Dustin kind of shared that idea this morning, right? Your dad loves you. He cares about you. It doesn't matter what you've been through. It's okay. I know you. God knows you. And if you will pursue Christ, his work is applied to your account, and you can be free from accusation. Not going to scare Diane again, but I wanted to scream and shout. That's awesome, people. That's what people need to hear. That's what those people out there need to hear, people in your workplace, people in your family. God did not come to condemn you. Jesus came to bring life and to free you from accusation. If you'll but pursue him, he will change you and give you hope and help and purpose. Wow. Praise the Lord. The gospel is hope. The gospel is healing and reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's the gospel. God isn't trying to push you down and shove you down and say you can't measure up. And he's going to give you a hard way to go. God wants to bring things back together. The message that we carry is be reconciled to God. He gave his own son for you. He wants you to be reconciled to him. Let's be those kind of people. Even today, as you sit there right now, who can you pray for that you need to share the gospel with? Anna is so proud of you and what she does. She's a gospel-oriented person. And whether she's over in Turkey or she's on a prayer walk with Cross Life, she's telling people about the gospel. Lord, help us to be that way, right? As God leads, share the gospel. And you're going to share from your perspective and from your story, right? There are going to be people that Todd can reach that I will never, ever be able to reach. And all Todd has to do is tell the truth of the gospel and share his story about what God has done in his heart and life. And that's all God asked me to do too. Tell your story about what God's done for you. All right, again, this whole idea of reconciliation is God is taking that broken image that we talked about back in creation. He's putting things back together. He's putting broken lives back together. What happens when the gospel invades a broken family? That husband, that wife, that they were getting along, they were hating on each other, and they were bringing up stuff that was 10 years old. When they come to Christ and their heart gets changed inside out and they start pursuing him, he starts bringing healing into that place. What happens to kids who are part of a family that all of a sudden is starting to be put back together? They begin to feel love and passion. They begin to have stability and purpose. What happens to a drug addict when that empty void that he had in his soul, what he was filling with alcohol or heroin or meth, all of a sudden that void gets filled with something else? And there is actually satisfaction there. And he doesn't need the alcohol. He doesn't need the weed. He doesn't need the heroin because you know what? He has real love in his heart. That's reconciliation. That's God putting things back together. That's what we want to be about right here. There are people all around here that have a huge void, and they're trying to fill it with all kinds of stuff. And if they'll hear the gospel, fill that void with the love of Christ, then those other things, they start getting pushed aside. And things start getting put back together like they should be. That's what the gospel is. The gospel cannot be, number six, cannot be earned or deserved. Some of you guys can quote this passage. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. Grace, right? And this is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, right? And I love verse 10. For we are his workmanship, or his masterpiece, his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Not that you guys love Greek words, I'm sure, but the Greek word here behind that word handiwork is poema. It's that idea of when you artistry, you weave something together, like a poem, you put something together. We are God's masterpiece. Do you view yourself as a masterpiece or a piece of junk? The gospel transforms the heart of a person to recognize and realize how precious they are in the sight of God. If Jesus shed his blood, which is worth more than silver or gold, Peter says, for a person, do you think they have any value or worth or merit? Yeah. The gospel makes us into the masterpiece that God intended for us to be. Everybody in here today is a masterpiece. I know you didn't believe that, but you are as you submit yourself to the gospel. Number seven, the gospel message does not change. Are you hearing me today? This preacher starts to come out of me when I say this. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 18. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Verse 19. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Verse 21, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he promised. That is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words, it was credited to him, were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness, for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. How did Abraham come to righteousness with God? Was it because he was circumcised? Was it because he did specific sacrifices? Was it because he bowed to a certain place every day? It was by faith. The gospel message does not change. It's been the same since Abraham. It's still about faith in God. Abraham believed that God was, he was fully persuaded that God was able to do what he said he would do. Do you believe that? How many of you, if you were 100 years old and your wife was 90, would think you'd be having a kid next year? That ain't happening, right? That just can't be. What? Abraham believed God. And his faith, God rewarded and honored him for that. Abraham, with that promised child, was born. Isaac probably would be, to think, about 12 to 14. God said, I want you to offer this promised child as a sacrifice and show me that you really are sincere about your faith in me. Now, I don't know about you, but I mean, obviously I would say, Lord, no way. I held on to this promise. I believed, and you gave it to me. Now you want to take it from me? I'm done. In Hebrews, the author of Hebrews says that Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead, and so he was willing to offer him. That was his faith. God said it, and I know God said it, but God has also said this promise. I know he'll carry through. That's crazy faith, isn't it? But I want to tell you, it's the same thing. In the Old Testament and the New Testament. A lot of people like to say the Old Testament was all about law, the New Testament was all about grace. I'm going to tell you, it's always been about faith. It's being faith that God will do what he said he will do. That's the gospel. Do you today believe that God will do what he said he will do? A lot of people don't. Jesus is coming back. Yeah, all right. We talked about that on Wednesday night, right? People don't believe that. That's not going to happen. I don't believe it's true. And because of that, they don't have faith. And because of that, they're missing salvation. Hello? Is that what I'm saying? People don't believe that God will do what he said. Hell? There's really a place called hell? I don't believe that. God's not going to do what he said he will do. Guess what? It's about faith. It's always been about faith. Even today, it's about faith. Where you sit right now, it's about trusting that God will do what he said he will do. Number eight, the gospel requires a response. And this is not an area I've done real good in, and the Lord kind of convicted me and kind of drawn me here. Hopefully I can do better at this. This is not my gift by any means. But the gospel definitely requires a response. Look in Acts chapter 17. This is Paul. He is preaching in Athens, Greece. And he's talking to people that have been worshiping all kinds of gods. And there's an altar there that's called called the unknown God, an altar to the unknown God. And Paul begins to kind of talk about this unknown God and points people there to that the unknown God is actually the God who created the earth, who sent his son to die and raised him from the dead. Well, verse 30, it says, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to do what? Action, call to action. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Paul said, God is commanding everyone to repent. Verse 31, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. That is Jesus. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. What more do you need? Here is a man dead for 3 days, and he's alive. In all of history, there's nothing more proven than the resurrection. We've talked about this many times, right? What more proof do you need? Jesus is alive. So you better take God at his word. Here's another promise people don't believe. You will be judged for your life. You could deny it, ignore it, set it aside. But if the scriptures are true, and I definitely believe they are, you're going to have a day of accountability with your creator. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to stand before him in my own good works because they're horrible. But if I can stand before him and I say, Lord, you offered your son. And again, I'm taking you at your word. I took his gift for me and my behalf. And I'm a mess. I'm a sinful mess. But Jesus lived a perfect life. And I love him and I believe in him. And I pursued him with everything that I could to be transformed by his power. And God says, I will reconcile you and be a part of my kingdom. Praise the Lord. You guys, today there's a call to action. And I know I'm speaking to probably 100% of believers in here. But this truth should ring out. If you have not responded, you want to respond. The Lord is drawing and convicting your heart, and you're like, I've never accepted Christ into my life. The gospel has a call of action on your heart today. It's so simple. It's just simply surrendering, repenting. Lord, I forgive me for what I've done. I'm going to pursue you. I give my heart. I raise my white flag. You can take my life, use it how you want. That's it. It's not that you have to go and do and be these good things. Again, Anna kind of shared that this morning a little bit, right? She didn't try to get herself all cleaned up before she could come and become a Christian. She just gave her heart to God, and then God did the cleaning. Are you with me? So today, guys, we need to share the same call to action with the people that we love. We got to do it with the Lord's Spirit. I'm not telling you to go, you know, jump on somebody's case and tell them they're going to hell today. But I'm telling you, you need to go and make sure that as you share the gospel, that you always make sure they understand there is a call to action. That there is a place where we have to repent. We forsake what we know is against God, and we pursue what we know God's about. We surrender, okay? Number nine, you guys, we're almost there. The gospel must be preached. Luke chapter 24, verse 46, he told them, this is what was written, the Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Did that happen? Absolutely. Verse 47, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Well, this is really pretty crazy cool when you think about this, the age we live in. There are places they don't even hardly have good enough water to drink, and yet people are dropping electronics in there so they can be connected to the internet. Google has this whole, they call it the Loon, L-O-O-N project. They are putting up these huge balloons that will go around the circumference of the earth, and they're providing Wi-Fi. It's crazy what they're doing. And what they do is they monitor the wind patterns of the balloons so that there's always going to be coverage. And the point is that there's going to be internet basically everywhere on the face of the earth. But you're like, oh, great, internet on the face of the earth. What does that mean? Well, that means that the gospel can go anywhere, in my mind. You hear what I'm saying? Now more than ever is an opportunity for someone in a deep, dark tribe in the Amazon and someone in the middle of Africa and someone in the farthest reaches of Russia or down in the Antarctic can hear the gospel. Right? You guys, we live in that day. We live in the day when the gospel can cover the whole earth. The message about Jesus can cover the earth and they can hear. We can't make anybody respond. We're not trying to do that. We're just saying, here's the offer that God has given. And there's no reason right now for the whole world not to know about Jesus. So the gospel needs to be preached. And don't get me wrong here. I think that you've got to live the gospel, all right? But you've got to speak the gospel too. That's kind of scary for some of us, isn't it? I don't mind trying to live it, but you mean I've actually got to speak it and tell someone about it, and I've got to talk about this idea of repentance and the idea of coming to Christ and the idea that we're sinners, and I don't know if I can do that. The gospel, it must be preached. And finally, number 10, I love this. The gospel is a reminder that God is for you. God is for you. He is not against you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. Are you hearing those words? God doesn't want you to suffer wrath. God doesn't want you to be hurt. God did not appoint you to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Do you like that verse? I like that verse 10. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, what's that mean? Is that talking about at nighttime? Whether you're dead or alive, the truth of this is we will live together with him. God is for you. And God is for your coworker. And God is for your spouse. God is for your kids. He's for your neighbor. He's for your postman. He's also for people in places where the gospel hasn't been yet. God is for them. We got to get the gospel out. All right, let me close with this. And hopefully, as we think about even our series that is to come, I want this idea to resonate with us. It was once said of the ministry of F.B. Meyer, he supported every effort to get a man out of a slum. He was more concerned, however, to get the slum out of the man. Man's first and great need is to be born again, and the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only power that can give a man a new heart. You believe that today? And don't get me wrong about this, but kind of bear with me for a second. We can go take a bum off the street. We can get him a Prada suit and some Italian shoes, put a nice tie, get him a fancy shampoo and a haircut, deodorant, perfume, all that good stuff, right? And we can have him walk down the street and people are like, whoa, look at that dude. But has his heart been changed? We can talk about addictions and we're going to. We can talk about infidelity and we're going to. We can talk about integrity, sexual integrity, we're going to. We can talk about all kinds of grieving and hurting and brokenness. And we can come up with all kinds of self-help solutions and ideas. And we're going to talk about strategies and ways to make things better. But the bottom line is, if the heart isn't changed, is it really going to matter? You must be born again. That's the gospel. All right. Today, what I want to do very simply is I'm going to take a little time to play the piano. And what I would like for you to do is, in your own heart, make sure that you're ready to meet the Lord. Everybody in here, including the preacher, is going to face the Lord for a day of accountability. So make sure that you have given your heart to the Lord in that sense. But I think most of you probably are at that place. But what I would like you to do the rest of the time this day is, we're just taking a little time to play. Would you pray for people that you're concerned about their own spiritual condition? Maybe it is a coworker the Lord's put on your heart today. Maybe it's somebody at school. Maybe it's a family member that you're going to see this week. Maybe at a Thanksgiving time, and the Lord is putting them on your heart. Maybe it's just your own kids or your own parents, and the Lord's put them on your heart. As I play today, would you just take a little time before the Lord and pray that the gospel would penetrate the hearts of those people that you know? And then would you offer yourself up to the Lord with your hands and with your voice and your feet to go and to say and to serve however you can, that they would really hear the gospel? Let's be thankful for the gospel today. Let's go ahead and stand, and I'll play a little bit, and we'll come and pray when we're done.